Well, I greet you again on this Pentecost day as we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit today. I want us to cast our mind back to the time when Jesus spoke about when the Holy Spirit would come. And so I'm going to be reflecting on a passage in John chapter 15 and 16 and then connecting it to Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost. But let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. And we thank you that you promised that Holy Spirit while you were still here on earth. And I just thank you, Lord, for the way in which the Holy Spirit has fulfilled all the promises you made when you were on earth. We just give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, now I want to read for us, first of all, from John chapter 15 and then from Acts chapter 2. John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, "When this counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. At this, all this I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They'll put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember what I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask where you're going. Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what happened to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language." See, folks, Jesus had promised to send the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And just before he left, he told the disciples to go to Jerusalem to wait for the coming of that Spirit. There was no time frame given to disciples. So you can imagine that after waiting for about 10 days, it must have been quite difficult for them. They weren't sure when the Spirit was coming. However, unlike the crucifixion and even after the resurrection, when the disciples all seemed to go their own way, yeah, we read in Acts chapter 2 that they were together in one place. You see, they had a great expectation of what would happen. And that expectation of what would happen was heightened by the promise of Jesus at the ascension. I imagine the going of Jesus made them wonder what the coming of the Holy Spirit would be like. Well, that coming of the Holy Spirit was incredible. It's described, as I read earlier on, they were together in one place and a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues like fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Well, folk, Jesus made a number of promises in the Gospel of John in chapter 15 and verse 16 that we're going to look at today, but even in chapter 14 as well. So I've entitled my message, "What Jesus Promised Would Happen When the Holy Spirit Came." What Jesus promised would happen when the Holy Spirit came. First of all, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come. Verse 26 of chapter 15 of John's Gospel says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father." Friends, Jesus promised he would send the Holy Spirit, and Jesus keeps his word. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit was not a new thing. The Spirit had come and gone on many occasions in the Old Testament. Let me read you a few. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them, and he took of the Spirit that was on him and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again." And Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, "Joshua son of Nun was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded them to do." Then it says in Judges chapter 6, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, summoning the Abionites to follow him." In Judges chapter 11, verse 29, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there advanced against the Amorites." And 1 Samuel chapter 16 says, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of these brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah." Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. You see, friends, the great difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe in Jesus and follow him as Lord. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came and went. He was given for special occasions, and he was taken away, like we read in the case of Saul when he stopped following God. But in the New Testament, friends, Jesus was making a revolutionary promise. The Spirit was going to be coming upon everybody. Friends, what great encouragement that is for us. We have the Spirit upon us, just like the disciples. The same Spirit that fell on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, friend, is the same Spirit that is on us as well. Secondly, not only did Jesus promise that he would send the Holy Spirit, but he promised that the Holy Spirit would point us to Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 26 says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I send in my name of the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he said, he will testify about me." Jesus said this. See, friends, although the day of Pentecost is the big day for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the interesting thing is, the sermon on the day of Pentecost is all about Jesus. You see, those of us who, you know, those who want us to kind of, give the Holy Spirit prominence over Jesus, forget that even on the day that the Spirit was manifest in the way that he was, the sermon was all about Jesus. Let me remind you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, signs, and wonders which God did among you, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purposes and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You have filled me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised on him an oath that would take place through one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received the power, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, which he has poured out on you, which you now see and hear. Friends, even though the Holy Spirit made an incredible manifestation on that particular day, the manifestation, friends, of the Spirit is just a gift of Jesus. How else do we know that the Holy Spirit is pointing to Jesus all the time? Well, let me give you another example. Few would disagree that the message of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament looks forward to Jesus. The Gospels talk about the life of Jesus. The epistles help us understand Jesus. The Revelation talks about the return of Jesus. So, friends, the Bible is about Jesus, but who gave us the Bible? Listen to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 to 21. It says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of that majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came down from him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to the light shining in the darkness, until the day dawns and the morning rises in your hearts. Above all, Peter writes, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Friends, the very word of God that we have has been delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself in that word. The Holy Spirit points us and tells us about Jesus. Friends, Jesus promised that the work of the Holy Spirit, always he would point to Jesus. Number three, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would help us talk about Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 27 says, he also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. On the evening before the crucifixion, Peter was afraid even to say that he knew about Jesus. Now on the day of Pentecost, when he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He can't say enough about Jesus, even in a loud voice. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this carefully to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. Friends, every single one of the disciples was preaching about Jesus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would help us all to be witnesses. I want to ask you, what qualifies somebody to be a witness? How can you be a witness in a court of law? Well, friends, you are a witness when you have experienced something firsthand. Friends, every one of us who have come into a relationship with Jesus have a testimony. Every one of us has a story. Your story doesn't need to be somebody else's testimony. Your story doesn't need to be somebody, you don't need to be Billy Graham or some other famous preacher. Friend, the fact that you know Jesus, the fact that he has touched your life, gives you a story to tell about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, friends, will help you tell that. All you got to do is ask him to help you. The Holy Spirit, friends, has given you a testimony, and that testimony can point others to Jesus as well. Number four, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would help us, keep us strong when difficulty came. Listen to the first four verses of John chapter 16. It says, all this I've told you, that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming and everyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. They will do such things because they've not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember what I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Friends, when Jesus called his disciples, he warned his disciples difficulty would come. And the Holy Spirit, friends, is there with us. In Acts chapter 4, just two chapters after the day of Pentecost, the disciples are dragged before the Sanhedrin and they're questioned. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 18, it tells us they were put in jail. And by Acts chapter 7 and verse 30, the first Christian martyr occurred in the person of Stephen. Friend, being a true follower of Jesus goes hand in hand with persecution. Even on the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, you've had too much to drink. Friends, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would help us when difficulty came. We should not shy away from difficulty, friends. 2 Timothy reminds us, in fact, says anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test of time, he will receive the crown that God has promised him. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, Jesus says to us, if anyone comes after me, he must hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple, because anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. But how do we know the Holy Spirit helps us? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised when the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange has happened to you, but rejoice that you partake in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Friends, Jesus told us the Spirit's going to help us in times of difficulty. We're reminded about that in 1 Peter. That if we're insulted because of the name of Christ, we are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on us. Number 5. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come for our good. John chapter 16 and verse 5 to 7, it says, I'm going away to him who sent me, yet none of you ask where you're going. Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. What did Jesus mean when he said these things? A little bit further on in chapter 16, he says this, I have much more to tell you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Friends, we wouldn't know everything about Jesus unless the Spirit of God was the one who was teaching us about Jesus. Friends, we're benefiting because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me read a few verses which remind us of that. Romans chapter 5, it says this, hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, he saved us, not because of the righteous thing we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Friend, God, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come for our good. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, who allows God's love to pour into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with joy and peace and hope. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, who helps us be saved by renewing us. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, that guards that truth and helps us live a life that pleases God. Friend, Jesus promised these things. He kept his promise in every way. Let's give thanks for the great gift of the promise of Jesus. Jesus promised. Today, friends, we celebrate the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus to send his Holy Spirit. He comes to take root and take residence in our lives. Let's give him pride of place, friends. Let him control us and guide us in our lives. All glory to God for the gift of the Spirit through the promise of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you. Lord, as we go into the rest of this week, as we move out from this point, Lord, remind us of the wonderful reality that we have the Spirit because of the promise of Christ. Thank you, Spirit, for coming to take residence in our life. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for pointing us to Jesus and reminding us about Jesus. Help us, Lord, Spirit, not to grieve you, but help us, Lord, to allow you to guide us and lead us into all truth. We pray that in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.